So let's begin from the beginning. Okay, the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, we're going to actually start with, we're going to use the interesting Gemara about Rav Chisda, right? Rav Chisda had this really funny line that he tried, that he could have passed all the Gittin in Kol Torah Kula, and then he doesn't. We try to figure out exactly what he means, we try to decipher exactly what he means, as him having the ability to decipher Kol Torah Kula. And at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like we're passing like Rav Chisda. Nevertheless, I think there are two important yisodos that come out of Rav Chisda. Let's start from the beginning. Amar Rav Chisda, right? Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph. Those who can see it, great. If not, you can follow along. I could pass every get in the world. Amar Le Rava, my time, I could do such a thing. Yilem Mishum Dechsev V'Kasav. V'Hacha Ihi Ka Kasvalei. Right? So what's the first... kind of the first suggestion that we could possibly call a Gittin? She didn't write it, right? And the Pasuk says, Fakasov, that he needs to write it. Right? Sorry, that she wrote it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Correct, very good. V'dilma akni le Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Despite the fact that she was the one who wrote it, and the Torah says, Fakasov anasa, I'm referring to the Baal. The Baal should be one to write it and give it over to the Isha. Nevertheless, the Chacham maybe had the ability to be machne to her. This is based off the halacha of hefker beis and hefker. Okay, big discussion. Maybe we'll talk about it when we get up to it in the fourth parak about whether hefker beis and hefker has the koach to be mafkia, or does it also have the koach to be machne? Meaning, there's a machne Ephraim that assumes that the hefker beis and hefker can only uproot something. It doesn't have the ability to give it over to somebody else. There are actually two makoros in the fourth parak that deal with how do we know hefker beis and hefker. Those two makoros may have to. Let's leave these aside for right now. These two makoros may have something to do with whether there has ability to be machna and kona. Okay, but that's not our discussion for right now. Ella, so Gemara says, Misham gives another suggestion. Ella Misham dechsev v'kasav v'nas dechsev v'nasan. It says v'nasan. You have to give it. V'hacha lo yahav l'midi. But over here, he did not give her anything. Why did he not give her anything?
Because it doesn't value anything.
Just right. Pachos Misham pruta. Right. That's what Rashi explains. That it's less than shav pruta. Dilma nesina sageti. No, v'nasan is not referring to, says the Gemara, that you're giving her something of value, but it means that you actually gave over the get. You should know that the halacha is, and here's a raya to this, that if you write a get, asurayana, it's kosher. Okay? Why is that a raya? Well, asurayana are valueless, right? And if they're valueless, so seemingly then, what would assume, yet, if you write a get, asurayana, it's kosher. We see from there that I don't actually have to hand the Isha anything of value. She would still be Megurashas. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So I want to break up these two elements or suggestions as to Rav Chisda's desire to possibly all the get in the world. And let's see if we could maybe connect them at the end. Well, let's start from the beginning, okay? What was the Havamina? What was the assumption over here where it says that, Yilem Mishim the Chsiv Kasav and the Maskana? What is the Maskana? What was the Havamina? The Havamina was, anybody know? Just say it. We said it before. Tavimina was, the reason why it's possible is because
he has to write it.
Okay, he has to write it. What's the answer?
She's hiding.
What?
She's
hiding. But that she was mocked there. So meaning this obviously is assuming certain assumptions that we should have known before, such as the fact that there was a Takanas Chazal, Takanas Igunos, that women were the ones who were instructed to paint the sofer in order to write the get. Writing a document was expensive, and in order to ensure that the woman would eventually get her get, we wanted to make sure that she would get it, therefore we don't want the husband to procrastinate, or maybe he would say, oh, it's too expensive, when I get the money, I'll write the get. In order to ensure the get gets written, she could put up the money up front that the get gets written, okay? And over here, if she's doing that, it seems as if that's a violation of Vikasav, right? That he needs to write it. So Gemara says, oh, no, maybe you were machne to him, okay? Now, what is the assumption of Vikasav? What is the Baal's requirement?
The writing
again, or
the sofer is a shliach.
Okay, good. So there seems to be three different deyas in the Rishonim as to what the Kasav is actually telling us to do. One deya, which I don't know if it's Omid Lemaskana, but it gets suggested by Tosos as well as, I believe, the Rush, is that maybe that the Baal must appoint the Sofer as a Shliach. Okay? There needs to be a Shliach. And over here, who's appointing the Sofer as a Shliach? The Isha, and that's no good. Okay, the Tosas and the Rush actually go in a slightly different direction. And those are the Tosas which I quote for you on the next source, Chav Beis, Ahmed Beis. So it's the Rush in Simon Chav Hei. That they focus on something else. And look at what he says at the end. I underlined the Ba'ina Sheikhtavu Bitsivoi, Vietain, Vahaka Filo Vinichta Bitsivoi, Loyahabla Midi, the Shalahu. Meaning that what is Vakasav says the Tosos, as well as the Rosh and Simcha Fei, they're not focusing actually on the Vakasav, but really should say Vakasav Vinasan, meaning that the Kesiv is a Hechitim to the fact that I wrote something which actually now belongs to me. And basically what the simple assumption of the Gemara actually was the entire time, like meaning as we read it initially, that the concern was that maybe it still belongs to the Isha, and that would be a problem in what he's giving over to her, correct? Because it doesn't belong to him. He needs to give her something that belongs to him. And that's what the Gemara says. Oh no, don't worry about it. The Chachamim can use half your dates and half your to ensure that it actually belongs to him. And that's what caused it. And that's what they learn out from there. Yeah, Yoni.
Isn't this the same as the second Havamina, as the second explanation of Rav Chisda, which was that's a bad Nesina?
Okay, we'll get there. It's certainly similar. There's definitely going to be overlap. So we'll hold off on that for right now.
I'm just trying to understand where you said that it's that because of the Joshua Vakasa Vanasa, the Ksiva has to be in a way like ready for the Nesina.
Basically, what they're focusing on is the Vinasan. It's really the Nasan, exactly. Right. So, meaning right. The fact that, so if she instructs the Sofer to write the Get, so then maybe it seems or it appears that maybe it actually doesn't belong to him, it belongs to her. It's not his. And meaning the Get needs to be his to be given over to her. Exactly.
So, but there's still a problem with Ksiva because it's Mechusar, like a Kenyan back to him.
Well, no. The only point is that if the woman's if the woman is commissioning the sofer to write the get, so then it seems as if that it belongs to her. So then he's not actually giving her anything which belongs to him.
Is that an intrinsic problem in belonging to her? Or that's what we're gonna.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, we say that if they didn't do a kinyan, so then they didn't have to commit. And this gets back to the question of tafel. Let's hold up on this right now. Yeah, but Lomais, at the end of the day, the point being is that we learn from the Nasan, according to Tosos and the Rush, that it needs to belong to the Baal. It can't belong to her. Even if, that let's say the woman paid for it and the Baal instructed him to write it, it still wouldn't work because it's not his. However, the Yad Ramah, Mesechus Bava Basra, as well as the Mukhi Yosef, if you look on the next two sources on the page, say something a little bit different. If you look at the Yad Ramah, at least the way that he says, Zahalamada Teshu Chayiv Lati Schar HaSofer. Where the Mukhi Yosef is actually a little bit clearer. What does the Mukhi Yosef and the Yad Ramah focus on? It's not about who it belongs to, but rather who is instructing the sofer to write the get. Meaning, what's important is when the ksiva takes place, that what that ksiva is being dictated by the Baal Hashtar. That is what they're focusing on. That's what the Yad Ramah and the Mukhi Yosef both end up saying. Okay? They both end up saying that the Kasav and Nasan, what our Gemara is referring to, what the Chisaron may have been when the woman, that we made the Takana, that she needs to commission the Get to be written, that if she is the one who is dictating how the Get should be written, she's the one who is commanding the Sofer to write the Get, That's a problem. For Kasav says, like we said, Nukei Yosef Ad Dichsev Kasav and Nasan Lokasha the Tivsak Siva Kamar. He needs to want to instruct the sofer to write the get. And over here, who's instructing? Her. And that would be the problem. Okay, great. Now, those are two different deyas as to.
So they're basing after will help.
What?
If this girl's instructing, Hefker Beis and Hefker doesn't help.
No, I just want to say.
What?
No, because she, even because
yes.
Hefker Beis and Hefker doesn't make him the one instructing it.
Right, so that's a great kasha. Let's hold off on that. Well, maybe we'll see if we can come back and answer that at the end. But it's a great kasha. Okay, I mean, I think there's a way out of it, but nevertheless, I think it's a good point. Okay, so that we have two separate days. I have to understand the first part of Rav Chisda. Okay, let's keep this in mind. On the one hand, well, at least the first part, right? That kasha v'nasan is about who it belongs to, right? Does it belong to the Baal? Does it belong to the Isha? And the other understanding is that who instructed the sofer to write the get? If you want to, you know, if you want just terminology, think about it. Is the requirement of a kasa v'nasan, is it in the gabra, i.e. the Baal needs to be the one who has a get, or is it in the chatsa, right? That he's the one who's instructing the sofer to write the get, that lechora has a certain effect on the get itself. Okay, I want to hold off on this machlokas right now, but I want to see if we can come back to it at the end. Yeah, all right.
Just right from the beginning, how would this take care of all, like, gifting ever? Like, Rav Chisda's statement was very broad.
Totally. We don't even know what Rav Chisda means. So, whatever. Meaning, I don't know. Rav Chisda may have been speaking, you know, in, hyperbolic terms or something. But I don't know exactly what he was referring to. Obviously, he knows these halachos.
Sounds a little bit like Rabbi Gamliel's, like, if I was on... Was there Rabbi Gamliel or maybe Rabbi Kiva? That he would never have killed anyone had he been
on. Right, okay, fine, yeah. So it could be something along those lines, but let's hold off on that for right now. Okay. Now, the problem is as follows, okay? So what I want to actually talk about now is the second part of Rav Chisda's statement. What was the second day? Was it focused on Chasam and Asan? How was the other option of passing all the getting in the world is through? Right, Shavaputa, Benisina, and what do we answer?
It doesn't
mean
anything.
It doesn't mean anything, okay? Okay, so this is number one. Let's start with the kasha. This seems to be problematic with the Gemara on Chaf Amabez. Do you remember this Gemara? Tanur ben Areza Gitech Bahar Niyar Shali Eino Bi Gereshas. Correct? What's halacha? If I give a get, Amenas, that the Niyar belongs to the Baal, Eino Bi Gereshas. Why? Because seemingly, you didn't give her anything. But didn't we just say, Kas of get Al Yisra'ana? It's fine.
Okay, let's
hold up right now. But nevertheless, this is something which some of the Rishonim and Achronim definitely bring up as being problematic to our Gemara. But before we do that, I want to take a quick drive through on the sugya of Isurayana, okay? And exactly how Isurayana works. Thank you. I want to take a quick drive by of the sugya of Isurayana. And hopefully, if you have a broader perspective of exactly how Yisurayana works, maybe we could answer up that kasha on the Gemara itself and see if there's a deeper connection to the first part of Rav Chisda as well. So, there's a big discussion when it comes to Yisurayana, exactly what is the status when one has Yisurayana in their possession. And the basic discussion is as follows. Does Yisurayana have any... Is it ownerless? Or is it just valueless? Okay? Just has no value. Take a look at the Gemara in the Misach HaSukkah. I don't know if you can look at it. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. A Esrek Sh'orla Puzzle, this is Dalpam and Hey, my Taima, Pligi Bar Rabbi Chia, Bar Avin, Rabbi Asi, Chadam Rav Vishain, Ba Heter Achila, Chadam Rav Vishain, Ba Din Mamon. Okay. 2 days as why an Esrog Shal Arla is apostle on Sukkah. So one is because Imbo Din Achila. Rashi explains that you need Lachem, and Lachem means that you should be able to eat it, and since you can't eat the Arla, therefore it's no good. Then there's Ein Badin Mamo. Okay, what is Ein Badin Mamo? Take a look at Rashi. She'ein Shavapruta. It's not worth the Shavapruta. It's similar to our Gittin. The Asuriya, no, because it is Asur Bahana. Hilkochlav Shalachem. Therefore, it is not. It doesn't belong to anybody. And obviously, one of the requirements of owning an Esrog is, and the Lila Dalamina is, needs to be Lachem, right? Okay, Yisurayana, meaning what do we see for Rashi very clearly, and this seems to be a very dominant opinion throughout many of the Rishonim, that Yisurayana are ownerless. You can't own Yisurayana, by definition. Okay. However, the Ritva, famously, over there in Misach HaSukkah, argues. Take a look, what does he say? He gives a different interpretation into that Gemara. He says, V'hanachon, and he says, you know, what I think is proper, to betruma tami va'arlo kuli amu l'pli, to paslin kol shiva mishum, to lo chazi l'midi v'kami l'sreifam k'susi mechzis shirei. What does he say? He quotes a famous halacha when it comes to other forms of Yisurayana, such as when it comes to, you know, aluva meira nidachas, you know, or shalara sheira, etc. When something has been worshipped for avodah zarah, so the halacha is that what? That those things are not, you cannot use them in order to be a kaima mitzvah. This also comes up in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, I believe it's Av Chav Zayin, when it talks to, you know, Esrogim also, which, not Esrogim, sorry, Eshofer, that comes, you know, from avodah zarah, that those things are not allowed to use because of Ksusim Nechze Shira. What does that mean? It's not the proper shear. Meaning we view avodah zarah as needing to be destroyed, and therefore we view it even what it's supposed to be halakhically right here, right now, therefore it's lacking the requisite shear in order to survive. Says Ritva going on, just, you know, after he lifts this, v'lav nishom arla b'truma divadei lechemu. He said, what are you talking about? Truma and arla, of course they're yours. I don't care that you're not allowed to be, you know, again, hamna from arla. It doesn't matter that it's asr b'hana. It's still called lechem. So we see very clearly that there's a big machlokas between the Ritva and Rashi as to whether Isuri Ana have owners or not. Whether Isuri Ana is ownerless or not. And this is a big machlokas throughout Shas. So there are a couple of interesting nafkaminas to this machlokas, which I want to go through with you right now. Yeah, Yoni.
What about Isuri Ana, like someone takes a neder not to have any Ana with his friend? Who would that? Like, stuff still belongs to his friend, wouldn't it?
Like, oh, yeah, no, Isuri Ana is the question of whether you could own Isuri Ana. But there's something
whether
which a Torah...
Okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, okay, so there's a couple of interesting Gemaras that come up and discuss this. So, number one is Gemara, famous Gemara Maseches Pesachim, in regards to, what is Asur Bana on Pesach?
Matzah.
So it's actually Machlokas Hanayim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I believe, says it's not. Sorry, not Matzah. Chameis Yachri. I mean, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the one who says that it's not, but according to Moshe Shonim, according to most Deyas in the Gemara and in the Mishayas, that Chameis is Aser Bahana. What? So Chameis Shavar Lel Pesach is only really a Gezerah, but let's leave that aside for right now. That could have to do with the fact that it's so strict. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim and Daf Vav and Beis says as follows. Dabar Rabbi Elazar is a famous Gemara. Those who learn Bava Kama might also be familiar with this. Shein Devarim Einam B'Shusha Shal Adam Va'asam Akasav Kilu B'Shusha Ve'elheim Bor B'Shusha Rabim V'chameis V'shei Shas L'Mala. What does the Gemara say? That there are two things which are not in a person's Rishus, but the Torah makes it as if you own these things. What are they? Bor B'Shusha Rabim, meaning if a boar is in Rishus Rabim, can I own that boar? Can I own that ditch which I dug? No, it's not mine. Just because I dug in Rishus Rabim doesn't make it mine. But asa lekasa kilu b'rishusa, that what? If somebody gets damaged because I dug a board in Rishus Rabim, so I'm responsible for the nezek. Okay. Who are they when it comes to? Chametz on Pesach. The chametz on Pesach, that even though seemingly it's not in my Rishus, nevertheless, the Torah makes it into my Rishus in order to make me chayev. Now, this Gemara obviously makes sense within which daya?
Rashi,
right? Look at Rashi for the next source. So, Rabbi Shushu, Eino Shalom, Tamar Lazar, Shay Devarim, Eino Devas, and Akasu Kilim, Shushu, and Leschaiv Alayim. Okay. So, I think Rashi actually, in both his Shitas, gives us some type of insight into what it's actually referring to. Meaning, what does it mean, Leschaiv Alayim? So, I think, number one, this Gemara seems to make more sense within the day of Rashi, that you can own, that you cannot own Yisrael or not. And over here, what happens? The Torah makes it, throws it back into your Rishus in order to make you over on Ba'yira Ba'yimatzai. What would the Ritva say? How would the Ritva interpret this Gemara of She'ino Shalom Vasa Kasab Kilo Rishuso? What he would interpret it as, in order to list Chayav Aleim, that what if I keep it in my Rishus, that's enough in order to trigger the Isser of Ba'yira Ba'yimatzai, which is a more of a Pesachim discussion, what actually triggers Ba'yira Ba'yimatzai, but let's leave that aside for right now. But this Gemara is a good test case as to how you view Isari in two different ways. It seemingly fits in more with Rashi. Another interesting Nafkamina, is referring to yet itself. Okay. And that has to do with the following Gemara. Okay. This is a big famous machlokas that really comes up. It's not really for us right now. It's really for later on. I think it's the 9th parak. Is that Zorik? Or is that the 8th parak? I don't remember. Okay. In the parak HaZorik, which is Dafa Ayin Zayin, the Gemara learns out, we already actually saw this a little bit, and we made reference to it as well, that the Gemara learns out that there's special ways in which one can actually acquire a get, and that is through kinyan chatzar. Okay, and the Gemara actually mentioned this. What is the riboy that kinyan chatzar works for get? Because it says v'nasim biyada, okay, and it also says v'nasim biyada. It also says biyada when it comes to himatzi timatzi when it comes to gezela, right? Right. So we say that chatzar is kona via gezela. Chatzar is also kona via get. Correct? Yes. This makes sense to all of us. Yeah. Great. Okay. Now there's a famous machlokas between Rav Chaim and the Ketzos as to how to understand how get works. Okay. How to understand how get works. Now, if we just said that what Isuri Hana, you can't own Isuri Hana, correct? Everybody listen to me? Yeah. You can't own Isuri Hana. So how is the Baal giving the Isha anything? You get the question? That's a fair question, I think. So says the Ktos, I'll tell you why. Because you don't need anything when it comes to Keirishan. There are no Kinyanim that are necessary. All you need is a nesina ba'alma. All you need is an action in which the Baal hands over a get to the Isha. When the Baal hands over a get to the Isha, she is divorced. I don't care what he's handing her over. I don't care whether it belongs to him or not. All you need is of a nasan biyada.
What does he do with that theme of nasan nasan?
Which one?
One from Hazari.
Okay, so that would... It's a good question. So he deals with it. He uses that... Let's leave that aside for right now. It's a long... We'll talk about it in a little bit. Just press for time. Okay? However, if you assume, not like him, but rather you assume the pashas in Gemara, that there actually are kinyanim which may take place when it comes to getting, it's just the type of kinyan needs to be a specific type of kinyan, right? Can you do mashicha with a get? Can you do, chazak on a get? Other than the fact that it's metalta and you have to figure out what kinyanim work for certain things, there's a lot of tligitik miyagavi karka, right? That's not going to work. You need actually adasa miyada. You need a nesina sabal directly into the hands of the woman. So there might be other forms of kinyan, like yad or hagbah, etc. There are other kinyan that could work, but a kinyan still works. It's not just about the mice and the sina. That seems to be the way that Rav Chaim goes. So okay, excellent. So within Rav Chaim, this would be another nakamina within this approach of whether you should hold that you own Yisuriana or not. Meaning, let's say this out a little bit clearly. I'm sorry if I'm being unclear. According to Rashi, who holds that what? Do you own Yisuriana?
No.
No, you don't own Yisuriana. So then who makes sense? No, you do not own Yisuriana. So therefore what? The Ketos makes sense. Because what did Ketos say? I know you don't own it, and it doesn't matter, because you're not giving her anything. All you're doing is Vinasan. You're doing a Mais and Nesina. What creates a Geirishin? The Mais and Nesina. Just handing it over is the Geirishin itself. But according to Rav Chaim, where a Kinyan actually is taking place, so then who is he going to hold like? Possibly? The Ritva. It makes more sense than the Ritva, because the Ritva holds that what? That you do own Yisuriana. And therefore it doesn't matter that the get is Asurbana. That doesn't mean that the Baal doesn't own it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to the Baal Bechlal. It still is his. And therefore that might be another nafkamina as to whether Yisuriana has ownership or not. I.e., whether you need a Maisekinian when it comes to Gerishin, then you would say that you do own it, because in order to make a Maisekinian, you actually have to be giving over something to the... There needs to be a Chefza of the Kinian. But if you hold that, no, it's just about the Mais and the Sina, so maybe you don't own it. You don't own the Bechlal, and therefore the Ketos makes a lot of sense. I think, lastly, and this will end, the last afghan we're going to say is the first machlokas that we set out within Rav Chisda. What was the machlokas that we said? Anybody remember? Going back to the beginning of this year? We spoke about... About Kasa ben Asa. Right, exactly. So, let me ask you a question. According to Tosos, what was Tosos Shita for Kasa ben Asa? Meaning it must come from him. Right? It must be his. The Yad Ramah, the Nebuchad Yosef, it's about in the instruction. Does it need to belong to him? Lav Dafka. Right? It could be that the machlokas about how to understand the first part of Rav Chisda fits very beautifully into our Chakira about whether Yisuriana have bailus or not. If you hold that Yisuriana don't have any bailus like Rashi, so then what are you going to say? You'll say like the Yad Ramah, like the Nebuchad Yosef, that, what's halacha? How does this work? What's the problem with chasa menasa? Not that you have to own it, because we already know that if you give a get, we start now, you're not owning that. So, with chasa menasa, the problem is when the woman instructs the sofer writing the get, that's not good. It needs to be the Baal instructing the woman, the Baal instructing the sofer to write a get. That's what chasa menasa, that's what we're concerned about. On the other hand, if you hold that you don't own an Isra Anath, right? If you hold that you do own Isra Anath, so then we can understand exactly what Tosas is saying. You know what Kasa Manasa means? It needs to be his. And you know what? Even if it's Isra Anath, it doesn't matter because it still will belong to the Baal. The Baal has bailus on things which are Isra Anath. And it could be that Rav Chisda actually, the 2 days, I don't understand the first part of Rav Chisda, could line up with how you understand Yisra'ina, whether Yisra'ina has bailus or not. Meaning that machlokas that we started with might just be another manifestation of a famous machlokas about whether one owns Yisra'ina or not. If you hold that one owns Yisra'ina, like the Ritva, so then you could be like Toso saying that the initial concern was that the Baal doesn't own it. Because the woman is the one who told the sofer to write the get, and therefore is it kibbutz that she's the one who bought it, and it belongs to her, and therefore that's not a good gerushin. But if you hold that what? You don't own Isra Anah, so then the problem is not going to be that the Baal doesn't own it, because you can give a get that you don't own. That's not the problem. What's the problem? He didn't instruct the sofer to write it. She instructed him to write it. Okay, that's a problem. Kasam and Asan. That's the pagam and the gavra of him not instructing that the get was written in the proper fashion. So it could be this larger, broader machlokas of Isra Anah actually finds itself manifesting itself in a smaller machlokas between about how to understand the first dinner of Chisda of Vekasav Vinasan. One last just cool thing to think about, and this is another nafkamina, but I'm not going to speak it out right now. The Rebbe is the following Kagira. It's really the same thing. But he says, when it says Vekasav Vinasan, that you have to give the woman, you know, something that belongs to her, you know, and this goes back to the question of, you know, Harizi Giteich Manu Shalif, right? Remember this? So the Rebbe wants to know the following. Must it be that it belongs to the Baal? Or it just can't belong to the Isha? Right? Meaning in our Gemara, we have two factors going on that seemingly could be problematic. It could be, the problem is, the Tachas doesn't belong to the Baal. Right? I mean, that's a problem. On the other hand, it could be a problem of the fact that the woman's the one who instructed the Sofer to write it. So maybe the problem is not that it doesn't belong to the Baal. We don't care whether it belongs to the Baal. We care whether it belongs to the Isha. Okay? That Chakir that the Rav says may also have an impact as to how we understand the rest of the Sukkah. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
You too, Rabbi. Yeah.
No, wait, doesn't all her problems
She could still own stuff. Maybe she didn't even do anything else.